In one of my state conference's assignments in the Salt Lake Valley, I invited a young Deacon's Quorum president to join me to talk about the keys of the priesthood. I wanted him to understand that he held a very special office that included the keys to preside over a quorum of the priesthood. We talked about the great responsibility it is to hold keys and how special it is to belong to a quorum. At the conclusion of the little presentation, I asked him how many members he had in his quorum. His answer was 14. Then the question, how many are active? The answer, 12. Then I asked, what about the other two? His response was, I need to get to work and make them part of our quorum. I asked him how long that would take. He thought maybe 3 months. I encouraged him in his efforts. 3 months later, almost to the day, I received a letter from him informing me that all members of his quorum were now active. He said that he had befriended one of them, and one was now attending the deacon's quorum. The other had been ordained a teacher by the bishop. I was overwhelmed with his response. What an example of one honoring his priesthood and using the keys of the priesthood to carry out an assignment the Lord had given him to fulfill. I could not help but marvel at the design the Lord has established for the administration of his work here on earth using the powers of the priesthood. This young man, not yet 14 years of age, was receiving valuable training to prepare him for a lifetime of service. Can you see him in the next 5 or 6 years continuing this service with a badge on his suit coat indicating that he's given 2 years of his life as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? In addition to the experience he is gaining exercising his priesthood in service to others, this young man must also include a solid understanding of the message of the restoration, the message that thousands of missionaries are declaring today to the world. It is the message that in our day, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the gospel has been restored for the blessing of all who will listen and obey. In the dispensation of the fullness of times was ushered in by a special vision to a young man not quite 15 years of age, who went into the woods to pray for answers to the questions he had on his mind concerning religion. Joseph Smith describes this glorious vision that unfolded to his view in these words, "I saw a pillar of light exactly over my head, above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, This is my beloved Son. Hear him." This vision revealed unto us that God our Father and Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, are two separate personages. Each has a body of flesh and bones that is glorified and perfected. This cleared up the misconceptions that had been in existence for many centuries concerning the concept of God. Is it any wonder that when Joseph Smith wrote the Articles of Faith, in the first one he declared, "We believe in God, the Eternal Father, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost." Knowing that doubt, disbelief, and misinformation would immediately follow the prophet as he recounted the first vision, the Lord brought forth the Book of Mormon, another testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. This ancient volume of Holy Scriptures is a sacred companion to the Bible, containing the fullness of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. It also provides convincing evidence to the world that Joseph Smith is truly a prophet of God. The Doctrine and Covenants contains the following description about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. God gave unto Joseph Smith commandments, which inspired him, and gave him power from on high by means which were before prepared to translate the Book of Mormon, which contains a record of a fallen people and of the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles and to the Jews also, which was also given by inspiration and is confirmed to others by the ministering of angels and is declared unto the world by them, proving to the world that the Holy Scriptures are true and that God does inspire men and call them to His holy work in this age and generation as well as in generations of old. The translation of the Book of Mormon is a miracle in itself and gives further proof to the book's divine origin. When Oliver Cowdery arrived in Harmony, Pennsylvania on April 5th of 1829 to serve as the prophet's scribe, only a few pages had been translated. That evening, Joseph and Oliver sat down together and discussed the prophet's experiences long into the night. 2 days later, on April 7th, they commenced the translation work of the Book of Mormon. Over the next 3 months, Joseph translated at an amazing rate, approximately 500 pages, printed pages, in about 60 working days. Oliver wrote of this remarkable experience, "These were days never to be forgotten. To sit under the sound of a voice dictated by the inspiration of heaven awakened the utmost gratitude of this bosom. Day after day I continued uninterrupted to write from his mouth as he translated with the Urim Thummim the history, our record, called the Book of Mormon." As they proceeded, Joseph and Oliver were thrilled with the doctrines contained in this book. They were particularly impressed with the doctrine of baptism, as taught by the resurrected Savior during his visit to the inhabitants on the Western Hemisphere. The importance of the doctrine of baptism was clearly unfolded to their minds. They determined that they must seek the Lord in mighty prayer, that they might learn how they could obtain the blessing of being baptized themselves. On May 15th, 1829, they went into the woods near the Susquehanna River and knelt in prayer. Oliver describes what happened next. "On a sudden, as from the midst of eternity, the voice of the Redeemer spake peace unto us. While the veil was parted, and the angel of God came down clothed with glory, and delivered the anxiously looked for message, and the keys of the gospel of repentance. What joy, what wonder, what amazement. While the world was racked and distracted, while millions were groping as the blind for a wall, and while all men rested upon their uncertainty as a general mass, our eyes beheld, our ears heard." The angel introduced himself as John, the same called John the Baptist in the New Testament. He laid his hands upon the heads of Joseph and Oliver and said, "Upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Messiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels, and of the gospel of repentance, and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. And this shall never be taken again from the earth till the sons of Levi do offer again an offering unto the Lord in righteousness." He said that this Aaronic priesthood had not the power of the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, but that it this should be conferred upon us hereafter. And he commanded us to go and be baptized, and gave us directions of that I should baptize Oliver Cowdery, and that afterwards he should baptize me. Accordingly, we went and were baptized. I baptized him first, and afterwards he baptized me. After which I laid my hands on his head and ordained him to the Aaronic priesthood. And afterwards he laid his hands on me and ordained me to that same priesthood. For so we were commanded. A short time later, the apostle Peter, James, and John appeared, placing their hands on the heads of these two fellow servants, and conferred the Melchizedek priesthood. Now that the power to act in the name of the Lord was again on the earth, Joseph was commanded to formally organize the church. On April 6th of 1830, in the home of Peter Whitmer Sr. in Fayette, New York, six men who had previously been baptized voted unanimously to organize, according to the commandments of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. At this meeting, a revelation was received. Behold, there shall be a record kept among you, and in it thou, speaking of Joseph Smith, shall be called a seer, a translator, a prophet, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an elder of the church through the will of God the Father and the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. Being inspired of the Holy Ghost to lay the foundation thereof and to build it up unto a most holy faith, which church was organized and established in the year of your Lord, 1830, in the fourth month, on the sixth day of the month which is called April. Wherefore, meaning the church, thou shalt give heed unto all his words and commandments, which he shall give unto you as he receiveth them, walking in all holiness before me. For his word ye shall receive as is from mine own mouth, in all patience and faith. Thus the Church of Jesus Christ was again in existence on the earth to bless mankind with the doctrines and teachings of the Savior. This church was organized according to the plan the Lord had established anciently. In the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, Paul declared, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come to a unity of the faith, and to a knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." President Hinckley has said concerning the restoration, "After many generations had walked the earth, so many of them in conflict, hatred, darkness, and evil, there arrived the great new day of the restoration. This glorious gospel was ushered in with the appearance of the Father and the Son to the boy Joseph. The dawn of the dispensation of the fullness of times rose upon the earth. All of the good, the beautiful, the divine of all previous dispensations was restored in this most remarkable season. Our message is unique. We declare to the world that the fullness of the gospel has been restored to the earth. We declare with boldness that the keys of the priesthood have been restored to man with a power to seal on earth and in the heavens. the saving ordinances pronounced by the Lord as requirements to enter life eternal with Him can now be performed with binding authority by those who are worthy to exercise His holy priesthood. We declare to the world that this is the day referred to by biblical prophets as the latter days. It is the final time before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign on the earth. We invite all to listen to the message of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ from us. Then you can compare the glorious message that you may hear from others. Then you can determine which is from God and which is from man. My witness to you that this is the church of Jesus Christ established in the latter days, in the name of our Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ. Amen.